Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
You know, I feel good. I always can get better. But, you know, I know myself. I know how usually it goes. You know, if I'm healthy, things are going to be okay.
The head coach.
You know, offensively, I think, you know, we make a few more shots. Could be dangerous.
And the fans.
You got a guy in Giannis. He's just like the most likable human being. And all the other people fall in line with that. Everybody kind of takes after him. And it's really positive to see that be the team that we give.
This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Now, here's your host, Bill Baby Tausch Schmid, on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
A battle for the Bucks to beat the Toronto Raptors tonight, but talk about some intestinal fortitude shown by the Bucks on the road at Scotiabank Arena. Bucks beat the Toronto Raptors tonight, 108-97, in a game that they trailed by as many as 13, continued to battle, continued to fight. We're going to hear from the Hall of Famer Sidney Moncrief here joining me shortly. I'm Bill Schmid, Baby Tausch. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. To get into a battle like the Bucks were in tonight, and then on multiple occasions into the fourth quarter, just a resilient basketball team being able to pull out a W here tonight through a 7-minute run without a field goal in the second quarter. You looked around with about 2 minutes left in the second quarter. At least I didn't. You're in the studio with Mayor Mitch, and Austin was hanging out with us as well. And we're looking around saying, if this is the worst you're going to play, and it felt like the worst half that the team had played all year, you're sitting here down 10 on the road against the team that's second in the Eastern Conference. You're feeling all right. Bucks close that half on an 11-1 run, bring it right back into striking distance within two. And at that point, it felt like the backs had been broken a little bit of the Toronto Raptors. You come on out into the second half and put together an 18-6 run to start out that half, and the Bucks darted out from there and never looked back. It got within as close as three at one point, and Giannis puts it on ice in the final 2 minutes. What better than seeing 34 step out from beyond the arc and drop one down to put a bad boy on ice, or as Ted Davis would say, Put it in the bank and let it earn some interest. Before we get to the Hall of Famer, let's get out to the reaction at 799-1250. I thought this was a huge game, personally. I thought this one meant a little bit more, knowing this group, first time back in that building since losing Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. I thought it was a huge test. I thought it was a huge game. However, if they would have lost, I know the conversation would have still been, you still haven't lost anything in the grand scheme of things. But this one felt big to me. It felt like it was a huge game from the jump in that building. Scotiabank Arena was going off all night, and I didn't see Drake posing with a championship belt after the game. 414-799-1250. Let's go to New Berlin, and Eric's first up tonight on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show. Eric, how you feeling after a win on the road?
All awesome. How's it going, Bullfreen Bill?
Really good.
All right. Yeah, great stat they mentioned on TNT there. Going back to last season and this season combined, we are now 110-30. 60 wins last year at 50 now. That's just an unbelievable stat if you really think about Milwaukee Bucks basketball. Endured some tough years. But, yeah, huge win. I like you saying, didn't have to see Drake dancing around too much on the sidelines today, so...
Yeah, that was held to a minimum. Thanks, Eric, and I appreciate it. That was held to a minimum because the place was electric early. That there's no doubt about it. It was a ruckus atmosphere inside Scotiabank, and TNT right out of the gates. You could feel the energy in the arena. You could feel the energy between these two clubs, and the Bucks were able to weather the storm and then for the middle part of the game just really take it over and run away from the Toronto Raptors late. But that team is pesky. They play some really, really physical defense, to say the absolute least. And there were a couple of different times people were saying, are there six guys on the floor? Why does it feel like there's seven different Raptors on the floor? Because they were covering up and trapping in that zone early, and finally the Bucks able to break out there into the third quarter. Now joining us here tonight on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, courtesy of Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North, the Hall of Famer Sidney Moncrief here on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show. Sidney, that was a battle, and we expected nothing less from the two teams that battled for the right to play for the Larry O'Brien last year.
Yes, it felt like a heavyweight boxing match. Mm-hmm. First round. They were just filling each other out. I thought both teams were a tad bit anxious, maybe taking three-point shots. I give Eric Bledsoe the credit tonight because he set the tone by taking the ball to the basket early, and the 15-point advantage at the foul line ended up being the difference, the huge difference in the game, and he set that tone.
And there are going to be nights, Sidney, where, I mean, this team has been so electrifying scoring-wise all year long, best offensive team, but you're going to have to win games when neither team shoots over 40%. And you're exactly right. Being able to get to the line and get those looks was a huge factor tonight for the Bucks being able to get this win in Toronto.
It's something about foul shooting, and especially with the home team. If you're playing on the road and you're able to get to the foul line, you in effect take the home team crowd out of the ballgame. You also slow down the rhythm that the home team might have by being able to get in transition a little bit more. Anytime you go to the line 36 times, then that means you're controlling the tempo and you're setting the tone for the pace of that game.
Sidney Moncrief joining us here, Pick and Save Probes postgame show after the Bucks win 108-97 in Toronto, their first time back up into the North since losing the Eastern Conference Finals last year in that same building. Sidney, we talked about going to the foul line, settling down Chris Middleton last night in the overtime. Today, held scoreless through the first quarter. You knew that wasn't going to last very long because the guy is just so white hot at the moment. He goes to the foul line, gets his first buckets there after being fouled on a three, and then 22 points there for the last three quarters. He was a constant scoring presence when they knew they needed a bucket again.
He really was, and like you stated, the foul shots, the three foul shots, consecutive shots he made, all three, that got him going, and then from there, he started relaxing. He didn't press as much. He started playing like the Chris Middleton that we saw yesterday. And he was another key. Giannis, I thought, played extremely well. Although he didn't score as much, you get 19 rebounds and 8 assists. Mm-hmm. He made some really key passes to Middleton when the game was kind of getting out of control in favor of Toronto, and he made those nice passes for easy buckets for Middleton. That was in the third quarter, which the Bucks won with that 34-point quarter. But a lot of that was Giannis making passes to Middleton.
Yes.
For Middleton to score points.
And being able to sense when the trap is coming, when the double team was coming, felt like something that Giannis was going to have to learn. But I don't know, Sydney, is that only something you can learn? There's only so many reps you can see of that in practice. I feel like a lot of it has to just be in-game wherewithal, and all that comes from is playing big games like this.
And Giannis is not given enough credit for his passing ability. He passes the ball very well. He makes passes sometimes off the baseline because he has long arms and he's hugged to the baseline. He'll drive. He'll just wrap around and throw a pass to the opposite corner or even sometimes to the top. That blows my mind. But in the third quarter, Toronto, they were playing Middleton on the top side. And Giannis, because he's 6'11", he's like a magic with long arms. You really can't prevent him from making pinpoint passes because he's so long and he has the advantage over most players.
19 points, 19 rebounds, go along with 8 assists and 3 block shots from Giannis tonight in 38 minutes of play. And they knew they were going to have to exhaust the starters tonight, and Middleton coming off the 41 minutes last night, Sydney, runs for 32, but Brook Lopez, huge minutes defensively, 15 points, go along with 5 blocks and a pair of steals. He is just such an anchor down low defensively for this group.
He really is. And Robin continues to come in and still, he only plays 14 minutes, but Robin played quality minutes,
yep,
which causes Brook maybe not to push as much. He cannot play as many minutes. He can be fresher when he comes in the ball game to make plays. And I thought that combination was a big key to tonight's ballgame.
Off the bench, Sidney Moncrief, Marvin Williams had himself a night shooting 3 of 6 from deep, but also defensively, he allows them to be a little more fluid and guard multiple positions. He was big in that third quarter run they were able to go on and really stretch this thing out.
His size is underestimated because now you can switch. You can actually switch with him to one, sometimes one, but definitely 2, 3, 4, 5. So any pick and roll, he can switch. Any penetration, he's long enough to cause that player to have to make a difficult pass. He has active hands. And, of course, we know he can shoot the three-pointer. We'll see him get more and more comfortable as the season continues, where that three-point shot will be a huge weapon for the Bucks.
Talking Bucks basketball after they win by 11 on the road against Toronto here tonight. Sydney, your old teammate Marcus Johnson on the broadcast today mentioned something that you knew there was going to be another spirited run in the Raptors there into the fourth quarter. And they start out the fourth quarter with the run and close it within 5. And then they had one more there with about 3.5 minutes left in the fourth to try to bring it back within. How difficult is it knowing the run is coming in this league? Because it truly is a game of runs, and no team is going to be able, most times the Bucks have bucked this trend, no pun intended, most of the year, but no team's really going to run away and win by 15, 20 points just off one big 10-0 run.
The problem with Toronto tonight, although we knew they would have a run, they didn't have one player in my mind that had played well enough to complete the run. Kyle Lowry was the Bucks' best player tonight, and he's normally the best player, one of the best players for Toronto. And yes, he just didn't have that one player that just really played lights out. I just never sensed that, even although they made a run, I never sensed they had enough push or enough players playing well enough to complete the run.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry, I imagine you can only guess, Sidney Moncrief, is not being beloved by Bucks fans for his chatter after most of those whistles that seemingly went on him for fouls in the second half. It's stunning that when you put your head right through the legs of a defender, you're going to get called for an offensive foul. I've never seen that before, Sidney.
I played basketball a long time, and I've never seen a player duck their head and put it between someone's leg and then go over and jack the guy up in the air. I've never seen that before. How could you not think that was a foul?
Yes.
And then he had the offensive foul where he drove an elbow, less on in the jaw. He just did not play his all-star caliber type of basketball. And they cost the Raptors the ball game because really all they needed was one player
sure
to step up and have a big game, and it would have been a little closer than 108-97.
Yeah, and it definitely wasn't either Kyle Lowry, 1 of 7 from downtown, 2 of 12 from the floor, or Serge Ibaka tonight. He was 2 of 15 from the field, 1 of 10 from downtown. The Bucks were trying to make Serge beat him, and I think it ultimately paid off. That zone that they were implementing early, Sydney, what kind of issues do you see that possibly giving the Bucks moving forward that the Raptors were playing early on in the game?
Not really. The Bucks can put at least 3 to 4 3-point shooters in the ballgame at any one time, and the zone is only as good as your ability to stop penetration and to take away open shots. I just don't see them being able to do that. What a zone will do, though, and when we coached with Coach Nelson, we did it just to slow a team down and to make them confused before they get into their offensive set. It's more difficult to run your offense against a zone. It slows you down a little bit. But once you get the rhythm of where people are going to be, zones are relatively easy to pick apart. And with the Bucks' 3-point shooting, I can't see a team going to a zone for too long of a stretch. I thought Giannis tonight, give him credit. Looks like he likes that left side 3-point corner
shot. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. He made that shot, and that's going to be very, very huge for him going into the playoffs.
A resilient group, and Sydney, I tweeted it out. I don't think there was a better way to put this thing on ice than a 3 in the corner for Giannis. Just showcasing, guys, I can do just a little bit more than you guys saw last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. The team is so resilient. You started off by praising Eric Bledsoe, and I want to close out with it, Sydney. Defensive intensity at the guard position. George Hill and Eric Bledsoe played so physical on Bradley Beal late last night, and they made life hell for Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry tonight at the top of the circle.
They just get up in you. Bledsoe's like a linebacker in football. He uses his body so much, but he does it legally. George Hill has quick feet, good hands. They set the tone. I've always said your point guard defensive play will always set the tone for your defense, and they did that tonight. Toronto did not get a lot of good penetrations, especially the third and fourth quarter. They did the first half, but the Bucks were able to cut off penetration, flow out to shooters, and it was just beautiful defense, and that was set up by George Hill and Eric Bledsoe.
Sydney, really appreciate it again tonight. We'll talk in about a week from right now when the Bucks take on the Miami Heat in South Beach, another opponent that definitely could be an Eastern Conference playoff matchup, as we saw a rematch and possibly another preview of a series coming up later on this year. Appreciate it, Sydney. We'll talk next week.
Bill, now that particular game is on location, correct? We do the show on location?
Yes, I'm going to make sure that I can get myself down to South Beach as long as you meet me there.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Take it easy. That's Sydney Moncrief. That's our guy. Number four hangs in the rafters at Fiserv Forum. Sir Sid joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. As your passion outgrowing your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. Simply local lending since 1935. And Sydney Moncrief joins us courtesy of Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. You can check out their new and certified pre-owned Benzes right off I-43 North at Silver Spring Drive. Online, MercedesofMilwaukeeNorth.com. Thanks for holding Charles on the north side at 799-1250 through Sydney Moncrief. Your reaction after the Bucks go up and hand Toronto a loss. First time in that building since Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Charles, you're on the radio. Charles is no longer on the radio. 414-799-1250. A win for the Bucks to be able to go up in a game where you desperately wanted to have a W. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that this team knew there was a little bit more in store, possibly, for the Toronto Raptors towards the end of this game. The Raptors wanted this one just as bad as the Milwaukee Bucks did. The crowd at Scotiabank Center Arena was live early and often. It had Drake posing with a title belt, and he did not hang that much longer into the night at all after the Bucks get the win, and they ultimately elbow out the Toronto Raptors. Let's try Charles one more time up at 799-1250. Charles, what's your feelings after the game tonight?
Well, you know, one thing I like about the Bucks is there's a maturity about them this year that I think wasn't there last year, and that showed in that when they lost those 4 games to Toronto. I really don't see anything like that happening this year, especially, you know, because they don't panic. they're deeper than they were last year, and that's because they got a backup center in Lopez.
Sure.
So they're not really losing anything in the middle, where last year when Brook went to the bench, you were small on the backup. Now you got a seven-footer coming in who also is a good defensive player, and it's showing that he can help you offensively. But what I like about this team, and which doesn't get talked about, is, you know, winning a championship is a process. Golden State went through it. The only teams that haven't went through it is the so-called super teams. You know, the Miami, you know, like that, the Lakers, you know, these teams that go and get all these other superstars to help win a title. But if you look at that first Golden State team, it was a maturation period before, you know, for them, before they won their first title.
Well, and Charles, you know, even the younger Bulls team before that first three-peat, they had a lot of times when they would get into the playoffs and get run right out of the gates. And Giannis, right, still at only 25 years old, would still be younger than LeBron and Michael Jordan for winning their first title. Both of them did it at the age of 27.
Yes. But I just think that this is their year. I understand you've got the Lakers and the Clippers over in the West, and, you know, but, and I mean, this team is so focused that I've never seen a team, and I've been following the NBA ever since the Bucks have been in the league. So that's how far I go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen a team this focused. And I mean, from 1 to 15.
And they run 1 to 15. Charles, appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. 799-1250. He hops off. It opens up a spot for you at 799-1250. 414-799-1250. I'm in that camp, and we had GA run in here from Kiss FM in the middle of the game, and all he said to me was, that's a title team. That's a title-contending team. That's a championship-style team. When you see the way they battled through that third quarter on the road, and they just have some kind of grit to be able to weather that storm on the road in that environment against that team and get this win here tonight. It felt much bigger than any other regular season game in the month of February. How about you? 799-1250. Bucks get the win in Toronto. We're going to hear a lot from the locker room tonight. Also, Coach Bud on the way. Giannis spoke right after the game. We're going to bring you that coming up next here on 105.7 FM The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Mayor Mitch is in here with us as well. It's the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Inside the Pillow Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Studios, we got a lot more Bucks talk after they finally get back into Toronto and take out the Raptors here on The Fan.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Great defense.
Shot clock violation.
Defense by the
Get that out of here. OG. The original. Grounded. OG.
He was grounded.
Marcus Johnson and Jim Paschke on the call tonight. Fox Sports Wisconsin. If you didn't want to go and listen to Stan Van Gundy and Ian Eagle. I will say this. So I started the game on the TNT broadcast. Bucks win tonight 108-97. I started on the TNT broadcast. Big Ian Eagle fan. I'm sorry, guys. Stan Van Gundy, just, I couldn't do it. And usually I don't X out because of anybody. I could not do it. I had to go back to Jim and Marcus. And understandably so, you flip over to Jim and Marcus. You flip over to the Bucks side. They go on an 11-1 run into the halftime, and right there, there was a huge opportunity for the Bucks to run away, and they finally do, away from the Raptors into the third quarter, a part of an 18-6 run. When we talk to Matt Velasquez, I know Mike Budenholzer is going to mention it in his post game as well, but that run to be able to get out in front and then keep away the Raptors, just with the physicality they continued to show, the toughness they continued to show. Early on in the game, this was a physical battle, all right? There's a lot of games in the NBA that don't become as physical as this one. Sidney Moncrief compared Eric Bledsoe to a linebacker in football. It's a pretty good comparison if you look at the body size, by the way. But you're in a scrap, and every single time early on, it felt like the Bucs weren't able to get the hustle spot. They weren't able to get the loose ball. They weren't able to get the benefit of the call, especially early. And into the second half, the Bucs looked fresher. They looked more willing to dive on loose balls, and they looked more intense than the Raptors did. Dante DiVincenzo, the stat line does not look good. But what that dude does, fighting for every single loose ball, especially offensive rebounds, never seen somebody at a guard position get as many offensive rebounds as Dante DiVincenzo does, and attack the rim a couple of different times. One finish that he had up and under in the second quarter, just high off the glass in the middle of a run that the Bucks were able to continue because of the defensive intensity they had. Three blocks from Giannis tonight, five blocks and a pair of steals from Brook Lopez tonight. He's going to find himself, if not on the first, got to be second team All-NBA defense. I don't know how you don't find a guy who is at the top of the leaderboards in the country, or in the league, blocking shots at that position on the number one defensive team. It's got to be all-NBA defense, and well-earned tonight as he was just blocking shots left and right, fresh off the night off last night where Robin Lopez picked right back where he left off with a huge rejection at the cup last night of Hachimura, which sent that game into the overtime. Couple tonight that Lopez was able to have, you heard the one to force the 24-second violation. That was at the point in time where the Raptors had cut it down within five, and it was in the middle of, once the arena starts getting a little bit louder again, the middle of the third quarter, it was like they were at the library playing this game. The 8.5 minute mark when the Bucks took a timeout, the first under nine TV timeout in the fourth quarter after the quick run to start out that period, then it felt like they were playing NBA ball in an arena that fits 20,000. But the Bucks take care of the Raptors tonight, win by 11, and I don't think there's a better way to put it on ice than how the Bucks were able to late in this one with Giannis stepping out from downtown. In the second quarter is where we fast forward to here in our game recap. Nothing going right. The Bucks had gone on a huge drought in that third quarter, in that second quarter, unable to put anything in the bucket. Finally, Chris Middleton finds himself at the foul line, knocks down a couple of shots. On the next possession, right here, it's a 13-point Raptor lead, a 12-point Raptor lead. Marvin Williams, why don't you cut that one down?
A lot of guys have been stuck with the basketball late in the clock. Compton had some issues himself. He just wanted to go down. There it is, Big Marvin.
Marvin Williams.
Here you go, Marvin Gaye Williams. What's going on?
What's going on?
Wait to say something.
The Bucks went 7 minutes and 29 seconds without a field goal.
7.5 minutes without a field goal. That was the start of the 11-0 run. Giannis and Marvin Williams exchange it. Giannis, why don't you take it in the corner?
Williams drives, gives it up. Giannis. Mark three.
That's good two-man basketball, Jim. Here we go. Now, finally, this is the first bit of rhythm that the Bucks have been able to establish at the offensive end of the floor.
So it was 12, then it's 6. Chris Middleton, why not?
52-45. Middleton head down on the dribble. Works behind Giannis. Yes, sir, Chris Middleton.
Middleton needed one. He didn't hit a shot in the first quarter. Took him until about the 10-minute mark in the second to find himself from the floor, and then Giannis closes out the half with a full court, coast-to-coast take.
Take it right back to Chris Middleton, just knocked down his first bucket of the first half.
Giannis, yes.
That'll work, too.
An 11-1 run. The Bucks have this down to 2.
No foul here. No foul. Good job, Brook Lopez.
That closes out the first half. In a two-minute stretch, the Bucks go on the 11-1 run. Your Toronto, looking at this up 12, at that point, I was still sitting there when it was 51-39. and still sitting back here in the studio as we're talking back and forth, all of us guys watching the game, getting ready for the show. If you this is some of the worst ball you've played all year. You're not going to stay this cold, especially from downtown. At that point, they were 1 of 10 from beyond the arc. Into the third quarter, they just started jetting out. Still within a five-point game when Middleton was fouled one more time.
What a pass. Nice. Middleton, Giannis, no look, two-hander to Chris on a cut to the rim.
Here we go, some rhythm now. Now here's where it's going to be. Going to be the difference maker down here at the defensive end, fighting through these screens, contesting open three-point shots.
That made it 64-60, and then this one, all of a sudden you blinked and it was a 10-point game.
It's like shooting over a silo. DiVincenzo to the rim.
Wow, Dante DiVincenzo.
That was the finish at the cup, the up-and-under baseline drive from Dante. That made it 75-64. It would stay that distance until Giannis, 97-87, one of the two jumpers that put it on ice.
He has come alive just when the Bucks have needed him. Step back, Giannis, yes.
I tell you, that's the shot he's got to knock down. Can't be bashful, can't be shy.
Marcus Johnson just said exactly what Giannis said a couple of nights ago after the Philadelphia game, knowing he was going to be able and need to knock down those shots in the playoffs. It also is a little bit easier when 34 can just go from beyond the arc, sit over there in that left corner, and put it on ice, big fella.
Giannis. Uh-huh. Three-pointer, well, I guess. Yes, sir.
I see you, big fella.
Two out of three behind the line.
That's a huge shot. Little draw and kick basketball. All-out effort defensively by the Raptors. Giannis shuts the Raptors up, shuts the crowd up in the process.
Shut them up. I like that. No doubt about it. And they closed the deal to the Milwaukee Bucks with that finish. Giannis ends up with 19 points, 19 boards, 8 assists. A bunch of those going to Chris Middleton, as you heard one of them there in that third quarter. They were closing up on Giannis quickly once he would get inside the arc. Fred VanVleet was doubling all over the place all night long and being able to lead pass into Middleton, taking a couple to the cup. One of the big reasons why the Bucks were able to continue that run and score 34 in the third. The only team in the only quarter anybody scored 30-plus was the Bucks in that third quarter. They outscored Toronto by 15 in the period and ran away and ended up winning the game by 11, 108-97. He said he was going to call in last night. He's the resident Raptor fan that joins the program listening on the radio.com app in Anaheim, California. Vincent is on the fan. Vincent, how does this loss taste for you?
I don't like it at all, man. It's all good, man. You're the best team in the East, and that proves why. That 11-point run y'all did, that's why we lost. How many points we lost by? 11 points. Because that 11, I mean, that changes everything. It changes everything, man. I was like, man, we're up. And then I checked in around the halftime, like, what's going on, you know? And then the third quarter happened, and that's unacceptable play as a Raptor fan, and unacceptable. You can't be just scoring 11 points in the third quarter. That's just like jacking up shots here and there and not doing anything. You know, that's unacceptable to me. But you guys, you know, got the win. And, you know, Drake, I like the belts. I like my Raptor mascot wearing the belts, and he's got his championship ring on. But we lost, man. We lost this game. And, man, Middleton stepped up a little bit again with the point total. He had the most points in the Bucks, I think. You know, that's
let him in scoring.
And yeah. There you go, man. It was Giannis passing him the ball. That's what you want to see. And Giannis passing the ball, you want to see Middleton or whoever he's passing the ball to finish. And that's what y'all did, man. But you got my Raptors. Remember, man, this ain't the playoffs. Remember what you all did in the playoffs, so. But you got us, man. You got us this time. We thought we had this victory. But Siakam, not that good. Fred VanVleet, and then Kyle Lowry. I'm glad the guy you had on, you know, Finley Moncrief, I'm glad he's kept it real because he took my thunder away, man. Kyle Lowry didn't show up again. Unacceptable, but that's a Raptor problem. Sometimes he's good. Sometimes we love him. Sometimes we hate him. But, hey, it's all good, man. Y'all got that victory. And that's why you're the best in the East, man. Even if we would have won, y'all still it would have took a little ding. You guys haven't even lost 10 games yet.
Well, no doubt about it. And that's the thing, Vince. Appreciate it, man. I know we're going to talk soon here on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show. That was the thing. You lose this game. I don't know ultimately what it does for Bucks fans' confidence or the lack thereof. Chucky Free from the morning show, Chuck and Winkler, here on the Fan, and tweeted out something. Regardless of the outcome, this feels like a championship team. And I just said it also in the same vein. It just feels like a title team. I understand that that's the expectation. I understand it's a failure if you don't win it. But right now, today, this feels like a championship-winning team. These are types of games that champions go out and win on the road in a tough environment when you don't play your best ball, especially early. The first half, the first 22 minutes of the first half were putrid. Down 27-25 in a slugging, physical first quarter. You go into the second, you miss, you don't hit a field goal for 7.5 minutes, and then go out on an 11-1 run. And just at that point, it really felt like you were starting to break the back of the Toronto Raptors, because how are you going into the break? Thinking back and sitting here, looking at the script, looking at the stats, saying they were 1 of 10 from 3 for the first 22 minutes. Wait a second, we're up 2? And then the onslaught came, or as Steve Sparky Fife used to always say here on this Pick and Save Probes post-game show, the switch was flipped, and the Bucks put to bed the Toronto Raptors tonight. Before we hear from Giannis Antetokounmpo, let's go out to Greenfield, talk to our guy Mike. Mike, you're on the Pick and Save Probes post-game show. What's happening tonight? Where you watch the game?
No, I was listening. I was doing some work at my son's house.
Good stuff.
I didn't think the game, obviously they wanted to win this game, send a message. Toronto was going to show them that it's still our league. But I don't think I would have gone totally all out and fought like it was a do or die. But they came back. Giannis, the additions they made, and people who were knocking the Marvin Williams deal, I guess he's been showing them tonight. But every year, they got knocked out by Boston. Was it Philly? They came back the next year and beat them. They're going to go all the way, and, man, it's about time. Obviously, I'm a little excited talking about the Bucks for the first time in years since they got cheated out of the finals by Stu Jackson in, I think, 2003 or 2004.
Back in 2001, yeah, no doubt.
And they suspended, I think, was it Chris Brown? Our power forward for a game.
Scott Williams.
That's right. Scott Williams. I'm going to hop off because I'm too pumped, but what a great game, and they never gave up, and Giannis improves every year. He's hitting free throws, so have a good night.
You too, Mike. Take it easy, buddy. That feeling of knowing you can win every game, knowing that Tim Allen and I talked about it a lot on the baseball postgame show in the 2018 season. It gets to a point where every single night you expect them to win. I think going into the year, that was the expectation every Bucks fan wanted to have every single night. And as it started to happen, continued to wait for the other shoe to drop. You continued to wait for all the good times to end. Guys, these are continuing to roll. This doesn't seem like it's going to be a roll that ends anytime soon. It really feels like it's going to be one of those that runs into the summer. And this feels like, to me, an NBA championship team. I don't know about you, and I understand that's the expectation. I understand if you don't at this particular point, you're 50-8 for crying out loud. If you don't go to the finals, something is seriously wrong, and it's a choke of epic proportions is what it's gotten to at this point. But right now, today, you look at this club, I don't know how you don't. It reeks of championship quality. It reeks of championship pedigree. And finally, it feels like the drought might be over in the city of Milwaukee since 1971. These two teams each had the longest winning streak in the NBA this year. Bucks with 18, Raptors with 15. Bucks beat them by 11 on their home floor, the first time returning to that floor since losing Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Azora Stevenson after the game, brought to you by the Granville Business Improvement District. The Granville Connection is opening soon. Go to granvillebusiness.com, Granville business.org. to see how your small business can be a part of it. Giannis with Zora Stevenson, Fox Sports Wisconsin, after the Bucks win by 11 on the road.
It was a grind. It was a grind the whole night. Obviously, we came from a back-to-back. know, we had a little bit of fatigue, but at the end of the day, you know, we grinded out. We wasn't playing the best basketball we usually play in the first half, but we came out in the second half, we were moving the ball, we're making shots, we're playing defense. So it was a grind tonight.
And you always say your best nights aren't necessarily when you're scoring the basketball. Would you argue that tonight was about your tenacity on the boards, your assists, finding your teammates?
Yeah, I was just trying to be aggressive. They were setting the second guy on me. You know, I was just trying to find the open guy. It was hard, but at the end of the day, you got to grind it out. And you know, I think I did a good job finding my teammate, and they were able to knock down shots.
And do you think that the wrestling is starting to rub off on the court? The wrestling starting to rub off on the court with the toughness, Dante grabbing those offensive rebounds, everybody getting in on the boards?
Definitely is rubbing off.
Thank you so much, Gianni. Had to ask that, Jim.
I'm so glad you did.
Jim Paschke and Marcus Johnson, Lenzoris Stevenson, having a little bit after that one. That's good stuff. That's a great broadcast on Fox Sports Wisconsin we were treated to tonight. Even though Ian Eagle and Stan Van Gundy had this one on a national side, which one did you end up watching? I started with TNT, had to go over to Fox Sports Wisconsin, ultimately right as they go on the 11-1 run, and it's a lot more fun to play those on the Pick and Save Probes post-game show. Come right back. We're going to hear from Mike Budenholzer, as well as a little bit more inside the locker room. More time for you at 799-1250. Feels like a champion waiting to be crowned in the city of Milwaukee. We're back after this on The Fan.
Was it a dunk? Was it a key basket in transition? Was it a spectacular play down the lane? It's time for the Wrench and Go Drive of the Game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest price auto parts around. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
It's like shooting over a silo. DiVincenzo to the rim.
Wow, Dante. DiVincenzo.
Dante was a part of it mostly on the offensive glass. I don't know exactly all that much on the scoring sheet. That was the only bucket that Dante was able to put together. Had 5 points in 21 minutes of run. But 3 offensive boards, 4 defensive rebounds, goes in for 7 total. Pair that with a pair of assists, 3 steals and 2 assists, excuse me, for the Villanova product. And also, one time he was able to get into it a little bit with the fellow Villanova Wildcat, Kyle Lowry. They got into it after Dante took it to the cup, didn't like the contact that came along with it from Kyle Lowry. And I got to bring this up as well. What was up with all the video replays tonight? I totally understand getting the call right. But when you're going back and forth, if you don't believe it's a flagrant foul, why putting it in slow motion and looking at it 100 times? Then should you be able to go and say, you know what? Yep, there was definitely intent there. Yep, the contact above the shoulders definitely was intentional. Because you looked at it frame by frame for 6 minutes with your Beat headphones on. That's why you realize that it's a flagrant foul. If it doesn't look like a flagrant foul in person, and it doesn't look like it in real speed, I have a news flash for you. It probably wasn't a flagrant foul. I'm all down for getting the call right. I always have been. It's what I like about video replay in baseball. It gets the call right the majority of the time. But why are we slowing a great game down and all of a sudden halting it in the middle of it? Because, well, we gotta check this out. We gotta see. He wrapped him up rather vigorously. That probably should be a flagrant one. And then 9 times out of 10, they come back and say, nope, just common foul. Right, because you couldn't find a flagrant with it right out of the gates. A couple of technicals as well called tonight in the game. They got Brooke Lopez for one. Felt like somebody may have made a mistake, because then all of a sudden, right when Brooke Lopez was called for one that nobody understood, Nick Nurse was called for a technical that everybody looked back and said, wait, the foul went against the Bucks. Well, what is he upset about? Yeah, either way, nobody shoots free throws. No harm, no foul. Bucks win 108-97 tonight. Off the bench, scoring-wise, the leaders, George Hill, in 25 minutes. There were 16 coming, 16 minutes coming for Marvin Williams tonight, 3 of 6 from downtown. He was a part of the run, the 11-1 run, to bring this game within single digits, and the Bucks had it within two at recess. Being able to get the ball over to a guy like Marvin Williams, he's got a quick trigger. And consistently defensively, he can switch on multiple positions. He gives them a lot more flexibility than I think Ersan does. And especially in a game like tonight, he's quicker to hang with a lot more players in this league. There's a lot of times that Ersan has to use his savviness, use his smarts to get in front of somebody and play defense that way. Marvin Williams is going to be able to because he's a pretty damn good athlete at 33 years old. There's a reason why he was the second overall pick coming out in 2005. There's a big grouping there, and that addition, while it may not look all that massive on the ticker when you see it on ESPN, it was big tonight for what Marvin Williams has been able to do, adding to that core, the veteran core, coming off the bench, 25 minutes off the bench tonight for George Hill. Man, it's good to see him back in there. 9 points as well, and defensively had one of the best moments, I think, of this season when Kyle Lowry went through the legs of George Hill and then expected it to be a defensive foul. Never seen it before in my life. Let's go back out to 799-1250. Go to Glendale. AJ's up on the Pick and Save Pros postgame show. AJ, what's your thoughts after a 108-97 Bucks win in Toronto?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, dude. You?
Hey, listen. Marvin Williams is going to help us completely.
Big time. You know what I mean? Just that the leadership that he can bring, and there's a difference between a 23-year-old that might be super athletic and a 33-year-old that knows absolutely where he's got to be. That's where Marvin Williams factors in for me.
Definitely. We need people that can make shots.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it that I want to say is the people that talk bad about Chris Middleton came when we needed him. And we needed him. He made shots. Because Giannis didn't score a lot of points, but Chris Middleton came and he did it when we needed shots.
He's also big in the standpoint of AJ, and I'm going to keep you right here. I want you to respond to it. He's also, even when he goes cold, he's not going to stop. And I get the shooter-shoot mentality, and everybody loves to say it, but it's a different beast to be able to put it into action in a game like tonight that had a lot of stakes behind it.
Exactly. And then that's what I seen tonight. I saw that Chris was able to, like, okay, let me move. I can get a mid-range at 2 points if we need it. We need it. We're not scoring. We didn't have people to do it. You know, if Bledsoe can do it, Giannis can't do it. Giannis is always going to get rebounds because he's always active. And, you know, Brook Lopez is going to rebound.
Mm-hmm, so no doubt.
We need people that can score the bucket like that. And that's tonight. I looked at that. And I said, yeah, okay, we can win a championship with these cats on the real.
They have that kind of talent. And AJ, it feels like they have that kind of mojo going on. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, buddy. All right.
That's AJ checking in from Glendale at 799-1250. That type of energy and that type of ability to be a factor late, especially for Middleton in games where you don't necessarily know how much volume you're going to have. I think that's where the efficiency that he's played with all year long, obviously the minutes played make the 20 points and the rest of the stat line for Middleton maybe more impressive. He's not even playing 30 minutes a night. But when you're able to average over 20, knowing probably the most you're going to shoot the ball is 16 times a game, tonight 14 attempts for Middleton from the floor, that's going in knowing I have to be efficient when I touch the rock. And Chris shoots the ball 4 times from beyond the arc tonight. AJ pointed it out. We need a bucket. I'm going to go get one from 12 away. There were a couple possessions early in the first half. It felt like the Bucks were letting the shot clock drain down consistently. A lot of that can be really, really good active on-ball and off-ball defense from Toronto. They went into the zone right out of the gates tonight, and it felt like the Bucks were a little bit stunned out of the gate. when the double was coming into the corners and just inside the arc, free throw line extended, you know, left or right of the lane, it did feel like the blinders were starting to come on, and a little bit of panic would set in. Where do I got to get rid of this basketball? I got to get rid of it now. I got to get rid of it now. Ultimately, being able to get down the floor and get a quick shot up, get a quick bucket, they weren't able to settle into the half-court defense as much into the third quarter. One of the big reasons why the Bucks were able to go on the 18-6 run in that third quarter. But throughout the rest of the night, whenever it got interesting, and seemingly whenever Toronto and the crowd would start to get into it a little bit, Chris would run down to one of his spots. That baseline jumper from about 12-15 away, when he takes two dribbles and immediately rises up and already turns his body off the dribble, that's when you know it's going down, man. And he had a couple tonight where Marcus Johnson would just go, ooh, because you knew he's feeling himself. And there's something to be said for just knowing a guy is balling, knowing a guy is in his rhythm, knowing a guy is in his zone, knowing a guy feeling unstoppable. And it feels like, especially after the first quarter that Chris had, you could tell there was a little bit of dead leg from the 41 minutes last night. Ultimately didn't show it in the final portion of the game tonight. He runs 32 minutes of burn, 38 minutes played from Giannis, and they needed just about every single one of them. 19 points, 19 rebounds, 8 assists, go along with 3 block shots for the reigning defending MVP, and 1 big-time 3 in the corner. On the left side, he had 2 of them, one of them to finally pretty much put it on ice for the Milwaukee Bucks there in the fourth quarter with about 2 minutes left. Coming right back here on the Pick and Save Probes post-game show, going to hear from Matt Velasquez live from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. It's coming right up here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This guy's on the inside. After every game, listen to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show for the latest from JS Online's Matt Velasquez. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola. Divorce, child custody, or any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
A lot of guys have been stuck with the basketball late in the clock. Connaughton had some issues himself. He wanted to go down. There it is, Big Marvin.
Marvin Williams.
There you go, Marvin Gaye Williams. What's going on?
What's going on?
Wait to say something.
The Bucks went 7 minutes and 29 seconds without a field goal.
7:29 they went. 7.5 minutes without a field goal in the second quarter. That sparked an 11-1 run to close out that period. Brought the Bucks within 2, and they end up winning by 11 on the road in Toronto against the team and in the building that they were eliminated last year's Eastern Conference Finals in. Joining us now on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show, it is Matt Velasquez from your Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hit the subscribe button. Check out the premium content that my guy Matt Velasquez churns out. And he's working hard live north of the border for us here tonight. Matt, heck of a game. That run to close out the second quarter felt like somewhat was going to start breaking the back of the Raptors, because you were looking over seeing the Bucks are playing one of their worst halves of the year, and we're only up 9, we're only up 10, and then the Bucks made it all of a sudden once you get into the break. Wait, we're only up 2? We got to go in here.
Yeah, that definitely changed the complexion of the game. You know, we just heard that Marvin Williams 3 in the call from Paschke and Marcus Johnson. And then you follow that with a Giannis corner, 3 almost from the same spot. You know, Chris Middleton with a 3. I think he had been 0 for 4 at that point, or maybe, I think he might have had a 2 like before that, but he had not been shooting the ball well in the first half. And so he kind of, you know, breaks the lid on the rim. And he gets one to go down. And, you know, Giannis hits a layup, you know, a tough one, one that he hadn't really been getting a lot of opportunities for. You know, he tried to be aggressive and attack, but it just really wasn't there a lot tonight, and he wasn't forcing the issue. But that time he did, he got the layup, and just like that, 11-1. And, you know, you kind of got a sense of, like, okay, the Bucks didn't play their best. They didn't look very good. They didn't look like themselves. But only down 2, like, yeah. You know, it's going to be really tough for the Raptors to keep up you know, not just their defense. I think their defense held up, but you know, keep up the high level of defense and keep up the shooting that they had going on. You know, and that was a really tall order, and obviously it was more than they were able to do, and the Bucks were able to turn things around and lead for most of that second half.
It was physical for the first 24 minutes, man. That's for sure. That first half was really, really physical. And you were able to get out to whatever it was, 18-6, 18-7 run there into the middle of the third quarter. And even when your bench was being outscored big time in the first half, the Bucks bench did somewhat the same in the second. And they just came in waves in that second half and felt like they were keeping Toronto at somewhat of an arm's length.
Yeah, you know, Marvin Williams was really good, you know, not just making three-pointers all from the corners, but he also, you know, bowed up on defense. He handled things when, you know, the Bucks. I think they tried to stick with Brook Lopez for a while and play their game. They brought Robin in too, but with the Raptors playing as small as they were with Marc Gasol out, Marvin Williams and Giannis as the front court, you know, it actually worked out pretty well, and it matched up better size-wise, and Marvin handled his job, especially against Pascal Siakam, and was able to tap away some steals and do some work. You know, it was really, really necessary and critical for the Bucks on defense. I think George Hill was really good on defense, especially the way he seemed to fluster Kyle Lowry in the fourth quarter. And Dante DiVincenzo was just, you know, an animal on the boards. You know, his offensive rebounding, especially in the fourth quarter, was a sight to behold. The way he was going in there among all the guys in white jerseys, and he was coming away with the ball and just had that kind of second bounce to get back up there and get other rebounds and create multiple extra opportunities. I think five, you know, points in a span of like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes on second chance points off his hustle. And so, especially on the back end of a back-to-back and right. An overtime game last night, I think the way the Bucks were able to close that game, you know, with guys, you know, like Dante, like George, like Marvin off their bench, I think was great. And obviously, you know, Chris and Giannis and Bled and Brook, you know, those guys were all really good.
Being able to take the ball away tonight, too, as the Bucks had 10 steals in tonight's game. A couple of those coming from Brook Lopez. Obviously, he comes back and continues his block party of five different blocks in tonight's game. Defensively, they put a lot of pressure on you, but you're right. Just being able to get a lot of the hustle balls, especially the last three quarters, felt like all of those were going in the side of the Bucks. This is a building now. I don't remember if I had the stat exactly correct, but in the last like 2 years, teams coming on the second end of a back-to-back were something like 2-14 at Scotiabank. Not an easy place to play, and the Bucks did bring the juice for the majority of the last 36 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, I asked Chris Middleton after the game about, you know, if it means a little bit more, especially the way they ended last season, you know, losing all three games they played here in the playoffs, including game six that sent him home. You know, obviously this is a place that, you know, it's in their minds. Giannis said it was in his mind, you know, Chris said it kind of creeps in there a little bit.
I bet.
I asked him if it meant a little bit more, and he was like, nah, we won both games here last year, and it doesn't mean you're going to win them in the playoffs. So, you know, obviously they'd like to win, they're happy to win, but it's not like they're getting all excited about it. And you know, Marvin Williams, he wasn't here for any of that last year, and you know, he was asked if how they reacted, or if it was, you know, how it was, you know, as someone from the outside seeing his new teammates and the way they handled the game. He's like, actually, I was surprised how relaxed they were, because I wasn't expecting that. Like, this just kind of like chill for them. So I think it says a lot about what this team is trying to do long term. I think they've learned the lessons of, you know, there could be big regular season games and you can enjoy them and all that, but you know, it all comes down to the playoffs. That's where their focus is. That's where their mentality is. And they know that come April, May, and June is when they need to be able to be at their best.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Matt Velasquez joining us for just a couple of more minutes here post-game. Pick and Save Probes post-game show. Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto tonight. Now 50-8 on the season after the W tonight. The three by Giannis in the corner to kind of put it on ice there in the fourth, put it back out to a 10-point game as the Bucks were kind of flirting with double digits there. Being able to hit that shot in the playoffs, I know he was talking about his fadeaway jumper and how he feels like he may have mastered what was wrong with it, letting it go a little bit higher just a couple of days ago. That shot, I know, is going to settle a lot of Bucks fans down, seeing him be able to hit that shot in that moment.
Yeah, that was a huge swing. I mean, the Bucks were up seven, and the Raptors come up with a steal using their press. And Fred VanVleet, who you know, back in May, like, you know, couldn't miss anything. You know, he got a pretty good look at a three that didn't go down, and Giannis gets the rebound, you know, gives it off, and then goes to the corner, and he gets that opportunity, makes the most of it. That's a huge change. It could have been a four-point game, ends up being a 10-point game, and you could feel, you know, like just how deflating it was in this arena. They were kind of getting jacked for the possible comeback, and Giannis being able to make that shot and being, you know, having the presence of mind to get to the corner and know they're not going to really chase him there, and having the confidence to shoot that shot, I think is a pretty positive development for him. I don't know that he would have gone there or shot that last year. And for him to do that was really mature. I think a lot of the way he played in the second half was mature, because he recognized that because they were sending doubles at him like all night long, that as much as he wanted to be really aggressive coming off of yesterday's game where he was frustrated, he wanted to be aggressive. He wanted to bounce back. He wanted to, like, put his stamp on this game. But he recognized that he couldn't do that. And that wasn't the best thing for his team. And so he was able to get out there and rebound hard and distribute and just do whatever he could to find ways to impact the game. And I think that was, you know, he said after the game that, you know, stubbornness is his best quality and stubbornness is his worst quality, but he's growing through it. And tonight, I think that really showed.
Being able to understand when the game needs you to take over and when you just want to take over the game can be two totally different things. He did seem to be a lot more patient once he saw the double coming. I talked about it a little bit, Matt, with Sidney Moncrief when he joined us right after the game here on The Fan. And if anybody missed it, you can go back to 1057FMTheFan.com. Click on Fan On Demand. It's brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC. Understanding when the double team is coming, but when the passing lane is going to open up and where it's going to, where the opportunity is going to be, it helps having four guys on the floor that know the best opportunity to cut and get to the basket. But Giannis being able to be unselfish enough to get rid of it at those points, it was big tonight. And also just having the wherewithal of finding guys around the rim. Finding Chris Middleton in that third quarter was like child's play for Giannis in transition.
Yeah, I mean, he found him a bunch, and he was able to recognize that that was the best play, and that he seeded the floor. Chris led the team in scoring. He had 22 points. He shot the ball really well. You know, they had the pick-and-roll game going. Giannis learned from the first half where he maybe needed to go on the court, you know, and mix things up so that he was catching in different locations to try and set up the Bucks' offense and read where the doubles were coming from. And you know, he was able to, you know, set Chris up for a lot of opportunities. Chris shot 50% from the field, knocked him down, and got into a rhythm. And that's, you know, what helped the Bucks kind of take this one home. Those guys being able to work together and play off each other. There's not too many, you know, pick and roll combos that are scary as those two guys, especially the way that Chris is playing right now and shooting the ball.
Matt Velasquez, did you see Drake walking in with the title belt?
I didn't see him, like, in person, like, close up. I was sitting up in my seat, and I saw him, and I was like, oh, he's got two belts. Like, let's see what happens. And, you know, Giannis was asked about it after the game. He's like, oh, I didn't see him. I'm not, like, paying attention. Like, I don't know what he's doing. And they were like, well, Drake said he was trying to troll you. And yeah, I was like, well, it's good. Like, fine. Like, I'm not paying attention to him.
We saw the tweeted out quote of, he cares about me, I don't care about him. And I just about lost it sitting right here talking on the air as I read it.
Yeah, I think that's music to the ears of every Bucks fan everywhere, ever.
Well, there's also a little meme going on as Giannis, right after he takes the poke to the nose, the thump to the nose. I don't know exactly what it was there in the first quarter, but he had one four-letter expletive that rhymes with Buck to say to Drake and said, why don't you shut up? Just sit down, shut up, enjoy the really expensive seats you bought, enjoy that really nice diamond necklace that you got, and sit down and watch us beat your hometown Raptors.
Well, that's
the professional wrestler in me. Sorry, Matt. Sometimes I just drift into character every once in a while, and it doesn't matter who's in front of me.
No, that works. That works. I'm here for it.
Matt, appreciate it, man. We thank you for being here, talking to us after each and every game, and get back home safe. Get some work done, and we'll talk on Friday after Bucks and Thunder.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
Thanks, dude. That's Matt Velasquez joining us once again from Scotiabank Arena after the Bucks beat the Raptors tonight. 108-97, the final tally. Bucks shoot just over 38% in the game, just over 35% the clip for the Raptors. Both teams just made 32 field goals in this game. Bucks only made 14 of their 42 threes. That's good for exactly 33%. Raptors a little bit better. They're 18 of 52 from behind the arc, but the Bucks win it at the foul line tonight, hitting 30 of 36 shots from the free throw line. They double up the Raptors at the line. Raptors just 15 of 21 from the charity stripe tonight. Bucks win it by 11. 22 from Chris Middleton, a high for the Bucks, high for the game. Tied with Pascal Siakam, he had 22 in the loss for the Toronto Raptors on 6 of 14 shooting. Middleton, 7 of 14 from the floor, 2 of 4 from downtown, 6 of 7 from the foul line. He was electric once again, picked a couple of big-time spots for the Bucks to help in a win. 19 and 19 for Giannis, 50 and 8 for his Milwaukee Bucks. Let me say that one more time. 50 and 8 for the Milwaukee Bucks. That is the Are You Kidding Me moment. No kidding about it.
Did that really just happen? It's time for the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagner.com. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops Postgame Show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Are you kidding me? Moment in tonight's game.
Come alive just when the Bucks have needed him. Step back, Giannis. Yes.
I tell you, that's the shot he's got to knock down. Can't be bashful, can't be shy.
No, he cannot, Marcus Johnson. He even knows it. Giannis knew he would need a couple of those into the playoffs. Don't know if they'll see these guys in the playoffs once again. But the Bucks get back at the Raptors for the loss in the Eastern Conference Finals last night with a 108-97 win in Toronto tonight. 50-8 now, 24-5 on the road are your Milwaukee Bucks. 19-19 from Giannis tonight, 22 from Cash, 15-5 blocks on the side of Brooke Lopez. 17 points go along with 7 boards and 4 dimes for Eric Bledsoe. And the Bucks get the win on the road, get a couple of days off after winning both ends of the back-to-back. They haven't lost much all year. 2 more against this Raptor team here in 2020. Come on back. We'll hear from the head coach next. It's Pick and Save Probes post-game show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. A lot more coming up here on The Fan.
Behold our mortal enemy. We're keeping an eye on the enemy. How did the bad guy look tonight? Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
I should be playing some trust issues and make me proud. Our guy Marcus Johnson was getting a lot of heat on Twitter tonight for taking a selfie with Drake. I'm not going to give Marcus Johnson any smoke for taking the picture with Drake. I understand he's not the most beloved figure in the city of Milwaukee at the moment, but if Drake was strolling past or I strolled past Drake, yeah, you better believe that I'm snapping something. I'm definitely getting some kind of picture with one of the best rappers of my generation. Guy is weird. I know he's in the face. I know he's annoying. But if he was courtside at every single Bucks game, rubbing up the shoulders of Mike Budenholzer, maybe that's what we want Aaron Rodgers to do. Like, Rodgers as the owner, could you imagine him just like giving a little shoulder rub to Bud while he's just freaking out up 30. Bud's eyes are bulging out of his head like they sometimes do when he starts screaming. And then all of a sudden you see like David Bakhtiari on the sideline just give him a tap on the butt. Come on. Great effort, guys. Marvin Williams checks out and you see Aaron Jones just dap him up as he gets to the bench. Brandon Jennings was there tonight. You gotta love that. Is Brandon Jennings beloved more than anybody would have ever thought in this city? I mean, he had a nice career, right? Big 55-point game in his rookie year. Nets see a little bit of a return on the trade. Little bit of a return. Chris Middleton, two-time All-Star on the return. Comes back last year. Just a fun acquisition, fun add. First-round pick of the team. Ends up just going out and hanging out. Like, I never expected the cult following that Brandon Jennings still has in the city of Milwaukee. I'm down for it. I'm here for all of it. Good for BJ. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I knew a lot of people didn't love the way that he played the game. Always a really, really cool dude. Always really, really respectful, understanding of what everybody was there for. And he played basketball the way he wanted to play. This Bucks team plays basketball the way Mike Budenholzer wants to play, and that is up and down. And the coach's corner has to be excited tonight as Mike Budenholzer gets to the 50 mark for the second consecutive year with the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's see if he can get to the 60-win mark and possibly even 70. Now 50-8. Let's head in and hear from the head coach after the game.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
You know, just a good effort by our group. You know, obviously the end of the second quarter was really big for us. We were not having a very good half. They were great, but somehow we found a 3 or 4 minute stretch to close the gap. And then the third quarter, both ends of the court, a lot of things, you know, where we want them to be and able to close it out. So it's a good win for us on the road tonight.
What do you think the difference was offensively in the third quarter? I felt like you guys were maybe a little bit more composed, handled their defense a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you use the words composure. I think, you know, get a little bit of rhythm of, you know, the aggressiveness that they were playing with, you know, to the ball, you know, especially Giannis. And I thought his composure and kind of just seeing the court, reading the court. And then you got to make some shots, you know. Different guys stepped up, made shots. And we got to play in transition. I think it was a 19-point defensive quarter, so you're getting a lot of stops. You get out to run. Hopefully play against a defense that's not set.
Two best defenses in the league that went head-to-head tonight. How much do you think you made the Raptors work on offense?
Yeah, you know, we try and make everybody work. So tonight, you know, you got your hands full. They got a lot of great players, and you know, they make things really hard on you. But I think overall, you know, some real positives to take from tonight from our defense.
Did you feel like you were able to get Giannis the ball in different spots in that second half to be able to let him facilitate a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I think it was more just Giannis, you know, playing well, understanding kind of what needed to happen. And he may have been in a few different spots, but it's mostly just a credit to Giannis, I think, getting the rhythm, understanding what he needed to do.
In that first half, was it both a combination of kind of the pace they force you to play at offensively and you guys just missing shots? Or just what do you think kind of contributed to that poor first half?
Yeah, I mean, I thought their defense was great. You know, they were in us. I thought they bothered us, their activity. Felt like we had a lot of turnovers. You know, they were getting to some contests, and we just weren't decisive enough. We weren't strong enough in the first half. And, of course, I'm sure if we look at the film, we missed a couple of shots that you need to make against a good defensive team would make it feel a little bit different. But, you know, I think there's a lot of credit to their defense in the first half.
What do you think about the way that Marvin was able to kind of contribute off the bench and give you some stability?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's... You know, I think that's part of the second half. You know, I know he made at least two corner threes. I don't know if he had more, but, you know, he's just his activity, his IQ. You know, I think he's going to get an understanding for what we want to do, and he's just going to get better and better. But I thought he really helped us tonight.
I know we always think about the IQ, but, I mean, he's on a rising star on Siakam. Like, he was staying in front and being able to do that. Did you kind of expect that with Marvin? That just felt like, you know, a matchup that could have been even tougher for a more veteran player like Marvin.
No, I mean, I think that's probably what we expected the most, was that he'd be able to come in and guard different types of people. And, you know, he's strong. He's got a physical presence, and he's got good feet. And, again, you know, he studies the game. He understands it. So I think defensively is where we, you know, feel like he's probably going to get the most comfortable, the quickest, and then offensively it'll come too.
How much do you feel like Dante's offensive rebounding helped kind of give you guys more of a cushion?
Yeah, no, I mean, his activity, his toughness. you know, the play that stands out. He gets the rebound and all that traffic, and guys are just grabbing at him and, you know, trying to do everything they can to take it from him. And, you know, he kicks it out to a corner three for George. You know, those kinds of – we talk about Dante making winning plays. That's, you know, kind of the – put that in the picture next to the dictionary of winning play.
It felt like in that fourth quarter there's a couple times where they get it down to seven or so, and then Chris just – plays at his pace. Just how big can that be for a defense that tries to make you play so frenetic?
Yeah, no, it's important, you know, and to have just multiple options, you know, sometimes just, you know, anybody, Bled or Brooke or Giannis can get a little tired, and to have Chris or, you know, Chris sometimes tired and then you get in Bled's hand, just feel like, you know, we have a lot of different guys that we can, you know, put the ball in their hands and make a good read and good decision, and Chris is certainly one of them.
Have you ever seen a player go under somebody's legs and kind of flip them up like Lowry did?
Nope.
Banged up on the Bucks.
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
Only one to report for your Milwaukee Bucks, and that was the man that did not make the trip for the back-to-back, Kyle Korver, still nursing that sore back, but back from his back injury. Huh. See what I did there? Brooke Lopez, thank goodness he was back because he was huge for the Bucks, especially on the block, blocking shots tonight for the Bucks. Brooke Lopez had five of those in the game tonight. Bucks beat the Toronto Raptors on the road 108-97 and get rid of the fears of going back there. But don't look now. The Toronto Raptors, you want to look at an injury report. That is one that was full for the Toronto Raptors going into tonight's game. They've been without Marc Gasol for the better part of the year. He's missed quite a few games. And we talked to Josh Lewenberg earlier today on the Wendy's Big Show from TSN, Raptors beat writer for TSN and 1050 Sports Radio up in Toronto. A lot of the conversation for the Raptors is just continue and get yourself to the playoffs without the help of Norm Powell, who did not play tonight, without Marc Gasol. And then ultimately, you'll be in a much better position once those guys come back. And you won't have to only go nine deep. Instead, the Bucks were able to outmatch the bench that played really, really well early for the Raptors here tonight. But not good enough as the Bucks get to the foul line quite a bit, finish the job, and get the W 108-97 on the road in Toronto. We'll be right back with more here on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show. Still some time for if you want to react with us here on a Tuesday night with a win in Toronto. How big of a W was that for you? This is the Pick and Save Probes postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North. Keep it right here on The Fan.
Giannis tracks it down and jams.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game.
It's going to be crazy, man.
Here's tonight's X Factor of the game. Brought to you by Bryant Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show, driven by Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North on The Fan.
If you missed some of the shenanigans tonight, as there seemingly always is when the Bucks go to Toronto, especially after the Eastern Conference Finals last year, with Drake, otherwise known as Aubrey Graham, also could know him as Jimmy from Degrassi, the next generation, like old Canadian teen soap opera television show. By the way, actually a pretty decent show. He used to play the role of Jimmy, a basketball player who then ends up in a wheelchair and then becomes, amazingly, a rapper. Imagine that. Drake, tonight, as he's the ambassador, global ambassador, whatever you want to call it. It's a fake title, so they get him to come and sit courtside at Raptor games. Drake thought it would be cool, since the Bucks brought the title belts to Washington yesterday, and that video started making its run all over Twitter and social medias everywhere of the Bucks posing with the title belt and taking out G-Wiz, the Wizards mascot last night with the title belt. So Drake wanted to come, and the Toronto Raptors tweet out the video of, "You're in the champ's house now. We are the North." Drake sitting there with a WWE championship belt around his shoulder. The Toronto Raptor whatever his, the Raptor, if you want to call him that, whatever their mascot is, I really don't care, is posing up with two title belts, and all you hear is Drake in the back of say, this ain't the Wizards, this ain't the Wizards. So instead, the Milwaukee Bucks Twitter account is having a bunch of fun with Drake tonight as they got a meme of him just chilling there with his face just in his hands, can't figure out what it going on when Giannis drops down a triple to stretch it back out to a 10-point lead with 2 minutes left and knows the game is over. Giannis, though, did you know that Drake had brought those title belts to maybe poke a little fun at the MVP?
Yeah, Drake bringing out the championship belts tonight.
I didn't notice that. I just found out about it. I don't know who told me. Probably Dante. Somebody told me. I when I'm in the game, I'm just locked in and try to win the game. I really don't look outside pants or, you know, what they do and all that.
I asked Drake if he was bringing the belts to troll you, and he said obviously he was.
Oh, that's good. He cares about me. I really don't. So I'm just here to win games and help my teammate. Have my team win. That's all.
That is just one of the best quotes I've ever heard of my lifetime. That's fine. He obviously cares about me. I don't care about him. I mean, what a slap to the face. Have some of that, Drake. I'm sorry, buddy. I just don't really care. Got a lot more on my mind. Like trying to win an NBA championship. Now, I understand you guys got one last year. Congratulations. Great run. Great victory. Really great team. It was. The Toronto Raptors last year, great team. Bucks, I think a little bit greater here in 2019-2020 as they now sit 50-8 on the season after the win tonight in Toronto. They finally get back to Scotiabank Arena and get back at those Toronto Raptors in that place where they lost three straight last year in the Eastern Conference playoffs. The run last year and game three, I think, still is going to stick with Bucks fans more than anything. It's similar to how, to me, the 14-inning game still sits with you in the 2018 NLCS. But share the story last night about just sitting there watching the ultimate demise of the team last year in Toronto in that game six. I don't know if ultimately this can make up for it, because I still will remember that one for quite some time. Hanging out in a hotel bar in the middle of Illinois, bunch of people I'd never met before, ripping up just napkin after napkin after napkin because I'm just freaking out as I'm watching this whole thing unravel in front of us, seeing the team blow a 14-point lead into the fourth quarter, not be able to hit anything. Tonight, Bucks up 10. They're in the middle of the fourth, and once again, they Raptors kind of close things up. Bucks outscore the Raptors by 15 in the third. And Marcus Johnson says it on the Fox Sports Wisconsin broadcast right out of the gates there in the fourth quarter, said, this team's going to have like one or two more spirited runs in them to try to get this thing back to neutral, try to get it back to even. You're going to have to weather a storm and close the job. Well, that run came a little bit earlier than I think even the Bucks were anticipating. Came right away there in the fourth quarter. They were able to slow it down and get it back to neutral. Later on, been playing this one a couple of times, but this step back from Giannis in the middle of the fourth quarter, as continually it's getting back to a 5-point game. It's a 7-point game. The Bucks had strung together a couple of possessions of really, really good defense. It's an 8-point game. Giannis steps back.
He has come alive just when the Bucks have needed him. Step back, Giannis. Yes.
I tell you, that's the shot he's got to knock down. Can't be bashful, can't be shy.
And also, though, in the middle of this, it wasn't just offensively they were able to get a couple of big-time wins. It was on the defensive end in that fourth quarter late that the Bucks' defense, and especially Brooke Lopez, along with the MVP, the long arms saying no go and keeping the Bucks out in front.
Great defense.
Shot clock violation.
Great defense by the
Get
Bucks.
That out of here, OG. The original. grounded. OG.
He was grounded.
That was a Giannis block on OG, along with another one coming. I think Lowry ended up picking up the loose ball and trying to throw one up towards the cup. I don't know if it was Anobi. Either way, Lopez rejected the last one, looked over to the bench and said, wait, I got four? They said, no. Oh, I got five. Five blocks. Okay, cool. That works out. Brook Lopez flexing a little bit more muscle defensively, as he really has all year long. Being continually one of the best rim protectors in the league. Brook, they still have him listed as 2.5 blocks a game. That is by far the best in the Eastern Conference. Nobody else even averaging two. The next best in the East is Mitchell Robinson. Hassan Whiteside averaging over three a night, and just under 2.5 is Anthony Davis out in L.A. Speaking of the L.A. Lakers, they are one of the three games still in action in the association here tonight as we take a look around the scoreboard. But first, guys, I got to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If you have not heard, the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin financing deal that you heard so much about in the month of January, well, it was so successful that Gina Della from Pella, she loves saving you money almost as much as she loves her own children. She has extended the offer through the month of February, but if you were wondering, and the weather wouldn't let you know otherwise, February is almost over. It's almost the month of March, so you only have a couple more days to take advantage of 10-year, 2.99% APR financing, or, yes, or, I said it's your choice, either the 10-year, 2.99% APR, or 18-month, zero APR financing on approved credit when you finance through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Guys, in demand right now today because of how many people are taking advantage of the financing offer. They need more workers. They need more experienced installers in Brookfield, Green Bay, but especially in Madison. So listen up if you're an experienced window or door installer. This is why you should apply to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. They offer premium pay, some of the highest in the industry. Also, some of the best training. And daily project managers work with you, making sure you complete the task, making sure everything's done right. It's not only on you if something goes wrong. Guys, it's a number one nationally recognized brand, and they've been in business for over 100 years. You don't do that by just throwing people out into the workplace and saying, go figure it out, Johnny. Pick you up at 4:30. Instead, they're going to work with you and not instruct you on what to do. They're going to work with you to make sure that it's a good experience. That's why you want to join the Pella team today. Apply online, PellaWI.com/career opportunities. One more time, that's PellaWI.com/career opportunities. Don't get waitlisted by a slow-moving cheapo chuck in a truck company. Make window replacement a part of your 2020 vision today with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You can stop into the brand new Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Experience Center, 19030 West Blue Mound Road in Brookfield. You can't miss it. It's just right there. You see the big tower. It says Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and it's the size of like 3 football fields worth of windows that you're going to walk into and be able to experience, touch, see, and feel right there in front of you. Or if you want the more personalized approach and you want them to come on out and survey your property, schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. And once you're there, let them know Bill Schmidt sent you. If you go in, talk to Gina Della from Pella. She is an absolute sweetheart. Tell her Billy Schmidt sent you, and she will, one, give you a hug, two, tell you a really, really embarrassing story about me, and then three, give you the opportunity to choose either 10-year, 2.99% APR financing or 18-month, zero APR financing on approved credit. That's Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Elsewhere in the association today, the back half of the TNT doubleheader, Bucks and Raptors were the front end. It's a one-point game with about 4:20 to go in the third. 17-4 run by the New Orleans Pelicans closing it up. It's a one-point game, 79-78 Lakers over the Pelicans, the much-awaited matchup between LeBron James and Zion Williamson. In the fourth quarter out in Portland, it's the Boston Celtics 103, Trailblazers 88. Halftime, Warriors down 12 against the Kings. Other finals across the association, Pacers outlast the Hornets 119-80. Thunder beat the Bulls on the road 124-122. And the Nuggets take care of Detroit tonight. Their 40th win for Denver in Denver, 115 98. Bucks are in Denver in a couple of weeks. That a part of a Sunday-Monday back-to-back, which will include Phoenix. We'll be in Phoenix for that game. Talking to you here on the Pick and Save Probes postgame show. I got to get out of here. That's my music. Appreciate you hanging out. Mitch Ross on the other side of the glass doing a tremendous job. Appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Matt Velasquez and Sidney Moncrief as well. Bucks win it tonight. 108-97. Get back at the Raptors. They get back on the floor on Friday. I'm back tomorrow at 2. Keep it right here, though. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.